Chapter 3. "You didn't say he'd be here," Jordan Brody said. David's carrot-haired best friend just stepped through the front door of David's loft apartment in the Upper West Side and spotted David's other best friend flopping on a coffee-colored leather couch. Mitchell Joffe was the negative image of the straight-laced techie newcomer. With his tanned arms folded behind his head and chest hair sprouting from his white silk shirt, Mitchell was the quintessential carefree playboy. He turned from the view of the Hudson River and shuttered his eyes at Jordan, a gesture of bored disdain he had stolen from Jack Nicholson. "He didn't want you to chicken out," Mitchell said. Jordan's shoulders rose. David knew that pose. The three friends had learned each other's every quirk and gesture well during the many ski vacations their families had shared in Aspen. 10 years later, their inner teenagers still surfaced whenever they got together. David had 5 seconds before the meeting devolved into a squabble. "Guys, this is important. Maybe the most important thing I'll ever ask of you. Can we put aside our differences for a few minutes?" Jordan folded his arms over his chest. "I will if he will." After a suitably melodramatic pause, Mitchell nodded. "Whatever." "Good." Jordan joined Mitchell on the couch, leaving a large demilitarized zone between them. David stood before his friends. "You've heard about the synagogue shootings?" The statement cleansed the air of teenage grudges. "But have you heard of the Elders of Zion?" Jordan wrinkled his nose as though he'd tasted pee in his beer. "The secret Jewish organization that controls the world?" Mitchell's eyes widened. "Awesome." "It's a myth, you moron," Jordan snapped. "A conspiracy theory anti-Semites use to blame Jews whenever things go wrong." "But what if it wasn't just a myth?" David blurted before another fight ignited. Mitchell said, "You mean like Jappy?" "Jappy's a dead end. I spoke with Jerry Cantor. Jappy has no real power, and Cantor foamed at the mouth at the very mention of the elders. But what if we created the Elders of Zion? People would think twice before they walk into a synagogue with an assault rifle." "Oh," Mitchell said, "like those Nazi hunters in that movie. What was it called?" Jordan laced his sideways glance with loathing. "Inglorious Bastards?" "Yeah, that's it. They shot up a theater full of Nazis. That was wild." Jordan shifted further away from Mitchell. "That was just a movie, and I'm not about to step into a Tarantino film or become a vigilante. Violence isn't a Jewish value, and Jewish extremists tend to end up dead like Kahana. No, thank you very much." "No," David said, his hands spread to calm his friend's concerns. "No violence, nothing like that. Just influence, pulling the strings, behind the scenes. Is that even legal?" David hadn't considered the legality of running a secret organization. Mitchell rolled his eyes. "Not if we do nothing illegal." David shrugged. "It's not as though we're going to apply for nonprofit status." Mitchell slapped his leg. "Good enough for me, David. Count me in." "Great." David relaxed. That had gone easier than he had expected. Now that Mitchell had signed on, Jordan would not be outdone. The two secret society members glanced expectantly at Jordan, who buckled under peer pressure. "Fine," he said. "I'll join your secret club."
"That's my man."
Mitchell raised his hand for a high five, and Jordan grudgingly played along. The mood in the living room warmed. The three friends had put aside their differences to pursue an important mission. "What are we going to call ourselves?" Jordan said.
"What do you mean?"
"Well, we can't use the Elders of Zion. That's a dead giveaway."
"Right,"
Mitchell said, and he brightened as an idea presented itself.
"Well, there's three of us, so—"
Jordan interrupted. "Don't you dare say the Three Musketeers."
"What's wrong with the Three Musketeers? That was a great movie."
"Book, you idiot. It was a book by Alexandre Dumas, long before—"
"Guys," David said, diving in again to keep the peace. "What did the Romans call that group of three rulers?"
"A triumvirate?"
"That's it. The triumvirate. What do you think?"
The two men wiggled their heads, trying the title out for size.
"I like it," Mitchell said. "The trio."
"Triumvirate," Jordan said.
"Like you said, trio."
Jordan glanced at David with frustration, but David gave in.
"Trio works too." "That settles it," Mitchell said. "Welcome to the trio, the world's first real Jewish secret society."
They smiled at each other, savoring their first shared accomplishment. Mitchell rode the waves of creative juices.
"We'll need a secret handshake, too."
"No secret handshakes, Mitch."
"You sure?"
"Positive."
"Okay," Jordan said, and he inhaled a sharp, impatient breath. What now?
What now?
How do we control the world?
Right. David scratched his chin.
He hadn't thought this through. To be honest, he hadn't expected the idea to take off with so little resistance.
Mitchell raised his hand. We'll need money.
We have money, Jordan countered.
No. Jordan, you might have loads of spare cash with all your hotshot high-tech companies. I've just got the trust fund.
Mitch, David said, we all need to pitch in. How David would do so after losing Zelig Pictures was a good question. Once the trio earned a few notches on its clandestine belt, he'd turn the society's attention to his own personal troubles.
I will, Mitch said, defensive. I'm just saying Geordie Boy should be the first to fork out.
Jordan sighed. Whatever. For argument's sake, let's say we've put the cash together. What do we do with it? They shared an awkward silence. The silence begat more wordlessness, and soon a tribe of unspoken accusations surrounded the friends and poked them with their silent spears. The newborn Jewish conspiracy had no clue what it was doing. In David's defense, he had hoped that Jordan would do the strategic heavy lifting. David was the founder, Jordan was the brains, and Mitchell, well, a two-man secret society, it seemed a little lame. I've got it, Jordan said, and the other men exhaled with relief. We don't need to figure anything out.
Relief became suspicion.
We don't?
Why not?
They eyed Jordan with foreboding, expecting a sarcastic punchline. None followed. Instead, Jordan beamed at them.
It's all planned out for us already, he said. We just need to read the handbook.